Gordon, W2, Tango, Tango, Tango. Are there any stations for with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Please, nothing heard is the right answer to that question. And this is W2TTT, your net control, for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, Technical Net. This net is run weekly on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz. It is operated to have a conversation about amateur radio, computers, telecommunications, electronics, and the like. We hope you'll participate. Stations can check in if they have a question, a comment, or for sale, swap, or wanted item. You can also check in if they have nothing. In fact, they're encouraged to check in if they have nothing, because by knowing who's on the net, we can kind of direct how the net should go, what level, and we might even ask you a question if we know you're there, and you might be a resource for an ongoing topic. So, with no further ado, let's talk about how you check in. With your call sign, your name, you indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item. Some combination of those things, they said before, that's fine, or nothing of none of the above, and that's fine too. This net's run weekly on 146.955 megahertz, the 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey. The PL is 141.3, and of course the offset is minus 600. There is an echo link. Unfortunately, it's available only to Chestnut Ridge members. You can look up the alpinerepeater.com to learn how to join the club and even pay your dues online if you so desire. Double check. You can also join Barra. We've done the first Sunday of the month. This next month we will have an auction at noon, or actually 1 o'clock actually. But we hope that you'll come one way or the other, that you can even join at that meeting. Alrighty, so with no further ado, I think I need to get a logging program going here. Are there any stations whose call signs begin with whiskey? Please call K2BAR.
Good evening, Gordon. This is Jim, WA2UMP in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
Hey, Jim, very fine. Got you covered here. WA2UMP. Any other stations should be checking with the call sign of W?
K2BAR. This is Whiskey 2 November Papa Radio. Hector, no questions or comments at this time. Actually, to answer your question from 440, in the car I run an ICOM 7100 with the stock microphone. That explains the punchy audio.
100 on the air. That is outrageous. It's wonderful. It really is, Hector. I've never heard any audio quite like that. Good for you for sharing that little bit of info. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, just listen.
Good evening, Charlie. Come aboard. Any other whiskeys?
W2SE, no traffic.
Sierra Echo, Bruce?
It's me, W2SE, no traffic, Gordon.
I just, my hair lowered, so it caught me off guard. And I don't know if I ever told you, I knew K2SE. His name was Ed Solov. He had the misfortune of dying in a dentist chair and a bad reaction to the anesthesia, you know, from the Novocaine. Pretty crazy. So he was a good guy. He used to live in Wayne. Anyway, any other whiskeys? Don, what are your intentions, sir?
Have a comment.
Vaughn? No noted. Any other whiskeys? How about kilos?
KV2 in LA, Chris, just listening.
Welcome aboard. Any other kilos?
K2, BAR. Kilo 2, Tango Romeo Whiskey. Good evening.
Intentions?
None of the above, Gordon.
Roger, thank you. Alrighty, any other kilos? Alrighty. Very fine. Alright. How about Novembers? Nothing heard. How about Alphas?
EC2GI, Rich, one question.
Rich, I don't think we've spoken since you had your Adirondack Adventure. Or if we have, I don't remember. Good, I got that noted. Any other Alphas? Ready? Let's see. How about any other stations, any call sign? Well, we'll try again in a moment. In the meantime, Don, W2JEK, K2BAR, your ball.
K2, best session tomorrow, Knox. We'll need to bring you if you know.
Thank you very much. Are there any stations with questions for Don?
K2, TOW, question.
Go right ahead.
Don, do you need any V's there, or are you all set?
Okay, Kai, thank you for asking, Operation.
Good, while you're there, do you mind giving us a status on Jim?
Well, I was talking to him, so I know.
That's good to know. So he's on the mend, and that's what's most important. All right, thank you for that, Don. Anybody else have any questions for Don? Hey, sir. I think we'll just give it to you in case you have anything else.
Nothing at this bar. It's expired issue.
Well, thing. All righty. Oh, very good. That's very helpful. All right. Thank you, Don. Before we proceed, are there any other stations who would like to join the net at this time? Please call K2BAR.
K2BAR. This is...
Good evening, Mr. Carl. What are your intentions, sir?
Well, I do have a question for the... What if put a remote head for a radio in a house and the body of the radio may be way where... closer to where the antenna support structure is going to be. The question is, how have other people done this? What's the best way to 100 feet the body of the radio? This is W2KBF.
F radio, but let's come back to that because Rich had a question too that he posted first, so we'll get to that. Any other stations wishing to check into that at this time? So, AC2GI, Mr. Rich, it's your ball. K2BAR.
K2BAR, AC2GI. I finally got my two mesh nodes working, and I just wired an IP camera, and for the life of me, I don't... Camera's on one mesh node, and my laptop is on the other. Kind of went through the website for inspiration, but couldn't find anything. Have a short list on how to accomplish this.
So you log into the node where the camera is, log into its configuration screen, and on that configuration screen you will see a panel for a, what do they call it? Lordy. It's a, devices or IP address. God, I forget what the screen is off the top of my head, but you'll see it when you log in. And go down there and look for one of the devices that has already had assigned a DHCP, address, and then proceed to configure it on that screen.
So the camera.
car won't have a fixed address, we'll have it a P address. Once you assign it, it will be fixed. Okay. Once that's done, you can, you can actually decide to either publish it or not, you know, in other words, a screen for that. It's a checkbox for that as to whether you want to include that. So let me turn on my Wi-Fi. I think I can pull up the screen so I can speak more coherently here. Right now I'm kind of in between projects here, but make sure I get into the right Wi-Fi network and I'll be right with you on that. Anybody else want to say anything while we're waiting?
W2SE. Gordon, what I prefer to do with those kinds of devices is I get the MAC address of the device, in this case the camera. Then I go into my router, and I go into the DHCP section to configure the router. And then I put in what's called a permanent lease for that particular MAC address. So it winds up getting the DNS addresses and all the other information it might need dynamically. I don't have to hard code all that in the camera.
So we're talking past each other a little bit. This is in a mesh node, so make sure that I have that's my screen. So you go to the setup menu, and then it asks you to log in. And once you log in with root and then whatever your password is, you will see port forwarding, DHCP, and services. Have you been to that screen, Carl?
Are you talking to me, W2?
I meant Rich, I'm sorry. Rich, so have you been to the port forwarding and DHCP tab under the setup?
I have.
Go there. You should see that the connected camera, I mean, the camera is hardwired to a node, yes?
Yes.
Under current DHCP leases, an IP address for your camera. You want to click Add, then from there you want to select the host name, and MAC address should come up automatically, the address, IP address should come up automatically as well, etc. In fact, let me just do that just for grins. So I'm going to hit Add on a device, I'll give it a host name of test, my case, and I'll click on Add. If you hit Add, sorry, I got that wrong. I'll get it. I clicked the wrong IP address, but anyway. So, you should be able to go through that process. And then when you advertise it, just check the box that says link, and I'll advertise your device, okay?
Okay, I will definitely give it a try. Thank you very much. Back to that AC2GI.
Just make sure you save it at the end, and it'll require a reboot, I think. But if not, just check to make sure it actually got assigned and such. You should be just fine. Let me know how that works. Anybody else have anything they want to add to that?
Yes, so she essentially outlined said that you're going to use a static IP address router that you're using. But I'm looking at the list right here.
I realize that. You know, what's really cool is that once you configure it, that MAC address will get that same that same advertised service on the same IP, so it doesn't matter. It's really not a big problem, but I hear you. I'm actually going to take a Pi that I have sitting here, and I'm going to plug it into Node and actually go through the process just for the grins and giggles of it. I forget where I got it from, Pinocchio something or other, but for Raspberry Pis and Pi 2s, I bought these little power supply modules to plug on the multi-pin header of a Raspberry Pi or Pi 2, give you a set of pins up above it so that you don't lose access to that header if you want to have a daughter board of some sort. But what it allows you to do is to take a normal 2.1, I think, millimeter power cable connection and run 12 volts into your Raspberry Pi, which is just lovely, and it takes care of all the other end waving. They're about 18 bucks a piece, so, but man, just for the sheer convenience of being able to run 12 volts on everything in your in your mesh box is just wonderful. Anywho, anybody else have any questions on this before we move on? Well, I'll be trying that on the next transmission or two. I'll try to wire this in and into it from my mesh nodes and play with it a little bit. So, in the meantime, let's see, Carl, it's your ball. I think you have a question. W2KBF, K2BAR.
This is W2KBF. Jumped the gun and listed the question, so I'll repeat it. When I'm wiring a radio, don't have the that would allow me to sit in a nice warm house with just roll head of the radio, have the body of the radio look 100 way. So you want to go a lot further than that. I made the body of the radio out in a garage away from the house where I tried to avoid running 150 feet of coax. I'd rather, what's a practical way to do it? What kind of interface? Imagine somebody on this net has actually done it with some success. What's a good way to do this?
So the first question is, what kind of radio is it?
I don't have the radio. It's to be purchased. I'm looking at options.
Start with the top of the line and work down. If you get a Flex 6000 series radio, you can put it on Ethernet, and they even have a little control head for it, and you'll be a happy boy.
Yeah, but my checkbook won't. Your $1,000, $5,000. What do we have in the 2000 range?
Oh, honestly, I've run, I don't know, about 100 feet of cable on various radios and their control heads, and that seems to have worked. The type that will run Cat 5, or I've used Cat 5 cable, but I've only snapped down, let's say, 6 or 4 conductors, various heads, control heads, but they were all FM, so I really didn't think about the HF side of it. There are some expensive but functional ways to remote radios, and they do have them, and you'll see them in QST and such. That's another strategy. My honest opinion is that we take a something like a like an ICOM 7000 and put, you know, 150, 200 feet of cable on it and see what happens.
Okay, when you say put that much cable on it, coax, or just saying actually Cat 5 cable that the ICOM uses between the body?
It's Cat 5, but you could use Cat 5 and then just, you know, crimp the connectors you need on each end.
Okay, so that would be the experiment, but since I haven't purchased the radio, I'd rather not purchase the radio and then experiment, so it's sort of, we may have solved the problem already.
W2NPR.
Go ahead, Hector.
Okay, Carl. Not sure which radio you're getting, but I can speak for the 7000 and the 7100. 7000 used an Ethernet-like cable to go between the radio and the control head. I think it was only 6 wires. To date, I don't know of anyone who has had any issues with RF, which is one thing you will have to caution if you want to take the control head away from the body of the radio at that distance. Now, as far as the 7100 is concerned, that came with, I think it was a 12-foot or a 13-foot piece of Cat 5 shielded wire. And of course, you know, the radio is a vast difference in design, but evidently somewhere in design they saw that RF was getting into
the cable that they probably first used, and, well, hence the shielded cable. But you need to caution yourself with that because you don't want inductance or capacitance along the wire. So, because not only are you putting data and your transmit and receive will
dropped out
there, so we'll change radios. You're putting a lot of data over the over that Cat 5, so you want to tread carefully with distance. If you really want to go crazy, you could get such a radio like a 7000 or a 7100, and put a piece of fiber optic between them. Of course, you'll need converters on each end, and in essence, you could just about eliminate any RF issues. Of course, that does not mean that the fiber units would not be susceptible to RF. So, I like the Flex idea because, in essence, it's a computer. So, you can put this computer in the garage, for example, and remote control the Flex on a laptop or another desktop inside the house, and just run it over your network. That's another way to do it. So, just a couple of different flavors and my two cents on what you're looking to do. And back to Ned, K2BAR, W2NPR.
Mr. Carl, your comments?
Okay, very good. Thank you, Hector, for your thoughts. So with the Flexes, it's still either fire wire, whatever the ice, still might have the problem. I mean, it's copper wire. Is it not going 100 feet or so? Burying it, for one thing, but can't put chokes and so forth on it because that's going to interfere. Why, it's a conundrum. Thank you for the thoughts. So the Flex is one possibility. I just don't know. Checked out to Beacon. Gordon, back to you, W2K.
Okie doke. 2KBF, W2TTT. Well, K2BAR, pardon me. The Flex is definitely designed for that purpose. There are some other radios that are designed for it, too. I think the Kenwood 480 might be another answer that allows for that, and you can run a pretty substantial piece of cable. I think that does use Cat 5. The Flex goes, I think we were all talking really about the 6000 series, not the 5000 or 3000 or 1500. Frankly, the cost of the remote linking boxes I've seen, other than the ones that are essentially passive networking, you know, over fiber, are essentially another, I don't know, $500-$600 to $1,000, at which point you're taking your $2,000 radio and made it the $3,000 radio that a Flex 6300 is. So, you know, and of course you do have to then buy the control head for it. It is another issue, but there are choices and there are interesting choices, to say the least. I would give it more than a casual look, but the TS480 comes to mind. I do believe, now that I think about it, that there's a capability to remote on the TS-570, but I'm not sure. Is it 570? 570 and 870 come to mind. One of those might be another opportunity to consider.
Okay, this is a distant future. Mind, and if anybody's actually done anything like this, I'd solve the problem. Very much. W2GF, back to Ned.
Hey, Carl, very good. Sorry we didn't have a better answer for you tonight. Are there any other stations with questions or comments for the net tonight?
Comment? Pardon, I can't say for amateur radio or remoting the heads, but in other applications that I've done, shielded twisted pair cable seems to do better distances than unshielded twisted pair cable. You typically ground the shield on only one end of the cable. You can put chokes on the outside of that if you want to try that as well. The other thing is when you're using the twisted pairs, you want to make sure you're twisting the right wires around the appropriate wires. For example, you don't want to twist the transmit data lead around the receive data lead. That would be bad.
I would try to keep the transmit and receive pair to be very separate, so you can make up your own color code as you see fit. And if they don't use all four pair of a Cat 5 cable, then you might even decide which one to do. And if you have a ground, you could even bring ground separately from that, or use a common ground between the transmit and receive if they use a common ground to get. But I wouldn't, you know, I'm not so sure I'd use the other piece of wire in the pair. I think I'd, well, maybe I would. I'll have to think about that a little bit. But, you know, experimentation is going to matter. You could use a, if it's a four-wire connection, you could potentially use use the whole thing, you know, as one for data down, one for data back, one pair for audio, the ground, another pair with audio the other direction, and the ground. And you'd probably be a happy boy. Look in the manuals to see how those control heads are broken out, Carl. I think, you know, for the radios that do have remote control heads, I would try it very thoughtfully. The other thing, again, is we could take a hunk of Cat 5 and snap whatever connector we want. I mean, I could put, you know, 100, 200 feet of Cat 5 cable on my 7000 control head in my car and test out the theory. So, yeah, you don't have to go buy the radio in order to test the theory.
Yeah, it's a back of the envelope experiment at this point. Speaking of twisted pair, I thought Cat 5, Cat 6 were inherently on the inside of the
drop in the cable.
Bruce, you doubled and lost until your last word, cable.
I wanted to add that you may want to double up on the power and the ground leads coming out to the head, because the head's going to need its own power leg. And the cable of that long is going to have quite a bit of resistance, and you're dealing with a low voltage supply, so the current will be kind of higher than normal. The power over Ethernet stuff is typically 48 volts. You're going to be dealing with probably 5 or maybe 12 volts at most coming out to the head.
All those things, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Anybody else? Carl, any other questions you might have?
No, not at all. I've done very little homework on this, but the little I saw, I think they don't want you to 25-foot link, probably for all of these reasons, RF pickup, the voltage drop, and things like that. But somebody must have solved these problems. There's got to be some way short of a Wi-Fi network or a crazy at some point. Anyway, thank you for entertaining my question. W2K.
All about crazy, so that's okay.
Thank you. If you're using the unused wires, there's no guarantee in the individual radio that those wires won't be grounded or connected to something. So what you might want to do, if you're going to run extra power legs, is to build a little pigtail that comes out of the radio with just the right number of wires, and then you double up on your power leads beyond the pigtail. W2SE.
Yep. I mean, at the end of the day, you're only going to have the connectors, the leads going into the radio and control head that belong there, and the like. I don't think they have unused pins as much as they do fewer pins. But you could, as you said, you could double up on the pins external to the connector, and that would be a wise decision to keep voltage drop to a dull roar. Anybody else? Well, Rich, I did not get a chance to get that up and running. We're sure running out of arms and legs while this net was highly interactive tonight. So I will go embark on that. If you're going to be listening, I'll see what I can do to the net. Are there any other stations with questions or comments for the net? Please call K2BAR. Notes. Number one, I have not been present over the last 2 weeks, and no one picked up the net, so if you don't hear me by a couple of minutes after, maybe 3 to 5 minutes after, feel free to pick up the net. Kind of important. Number two, the
the,
pardon me,
Fairlawn is having their, key mic, or was it, key bug and mic night, tomorrow night, so bring your keys and bugs and paddles and microphones. Should be very exciting and very interesting. Hope to see some folks there, and that should be fun. And number two, or number three, I should say, TFMA is having their annual meeting on Sunday where Barra meets.
I believe it's at 7.
If you walk in at 7, you won't be late. Let's put it that way. And then Barra has their auction on the 6th of February, right, 6th of March, 6th of March, Sunday, at the high school. And that, of course, is at noon for sellers and 1 o'clock for buyers. Auctioning will start promptly at 1. And there'll be food, yummy food, slapper sandwiches, and we'll be there for the asking, so it should be fun. So, with no further ado, are there any stations, additional questions or comments or confusions? One last thing, you can use the Comtech Group, Yahoo Group, Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo, Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo, Oscar Uniform Papa, Comtech Group, and we hope that we'll see you on that distribution list as well. If you do something cool, get up on the net and bring it on. And I hope everybody has a good night and a safe week. I know we got through the deep freeze. This is KQBAR, W2TTT, off and clears, and returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use.